Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back in another edition of the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones here with you on a colder than I want it to be Wednesday. It snowed at like midnight.
Yeah, I had ice on my car this morning.
Hate it.
I didn't realize it either until I you know, backing out of the driveway. You know, you do the look back to see, make sure no one's coming. And I see the ice and I'm like, oh, what is that? What is that?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
We can open the show with this. I'm a little bit of a hypocrite. I made fun of Josh yesterday for doing the no phone challenge at the Sabres game. Mostly about going to the Sabres game.
Yeah, mostly going there.
Where did I end up last night?
You're even wearing their merch.
This was on clearance.
That's fine. And it looks good.
A deal's a deal and it looks sharp.
I think it looks good.
I love the Sabres apparel. I hate that the team is so bad because all of the apparel always looks so fresh. Compared to Bill's apparel.
Yeah.
Like, I could look at Sabres attire and apparel and go, oh, that's fresh. Oh, that's fresh. I like that. With Bill's merch, I go, that's okay.
I need more team merch, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Texas stuff, purely just because a lot of people get me that for Christmas and
guilty of buying too many quarter zips, and,
it's never a bad idea. I don't have a lot of Bills and Sabres stuff,
man,
though.
I really don't. It was on the clearance rack, though. And I'm like, I'll take it. So
that's the way to do it.
Smart shopping, folks. Even when the team is bad. I did see Josh at the game last night.
Good.
Because he texted me where he was sitting. I also stole Trevor Howard's seat for about a minute and 20 seconds.
It's all right. It's okay.
Because the third period had started. I went down to see them. I see Brian Mazurowski. I see Josh. I see our old friend Ryan Gates.
Nice.
And then there's two seats next to Josh. I go, all right, so who's sitting here? He goes, I go, is anyone sitting here? And he goes, yeah, Trevor. Trevor's at the game too. He's just going and getting food probably. And then I see Trevor, as the period is starting, he comes on down and he's like at the row. And I'm like, hey, what's up, buddy? Apparently that means I got to go. The Sabres put a quick shot on net and I'm like, all right, this is it. Trevor, hey, what's up? Quick little dap and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
So I like interviewed with nobody's business.
Good.
It was perfect. Except for the fact that the Sabres lost 4-0 to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. You said that was a pretty good game. I did not
watch. It was an entertaining game.
I'm checking out of this out of the season.
If you heard Brian or Paul on postgame, it was a good game.
Okay.
Anthony Stolarz is 4-0-1 against the Buffalo Sabres. Going into last night, it was a 1.47 goals against average. I'm not going to look at it after a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what Buffalo did to Anthony Stolarz, but he took it personally.
He's been very, very good.
He's been good all year. Mm-hmm. But like against the Sabres, like, all right, can we like relax? I had fun at the game. When you establish yourself as a friendly presence, like, hey, let's hate on each other, but let's do it in a fun way.
Right.
You could have a lot of fans with Toronto. You could have a lot of fun with Toronto fans. When you establish it as, hey, let's be friendly with the Jabs,
mm-hmm.
it's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't want to be that guy.
It does help, too. One team's winning the Atlantic. The other team's not in the playoffs.
But that team
not
also
much trash talking that can happen.
But this team that is showing up on the road
mm-hmm.
and the fans traveling typically don't have success in this arena.
That's right. House of Horrors, all that. Oh, yeah.
But I've got a kid mean mugging me when I'm saying that Lukanen's making some nice saves. And I'm like, hey, this is what it's all about. Let's have some fun.
Just imagining a six-year-old just giving you just like
the he's turning
glare.
Around giving me death stares. Yeah. Like, this is what it's all about. It's supposed to be fun. I'm not going to ruin this for a kid. Let's get into it.
Right.
I'll do a minor beef with a six-year-old for funsies
mm-hmm.
as long as we establish it's fun.
Lucas making good saves. It's
the kid's sitting right in front of me, just turns around and is grilling me, and I'm like, all right, you know what? He wants to have some fun. Let's have some fun. Let's mess with him a little bit.
So with this, will you be attending the final game of the season on Thursday?
No.
Okay. Well, you said this like about the Toronto game yesterday.
Okay, but...
And then you went.
But tickets were $25. A rarity for that kind of game.
A rarity.
Very packed arena still.
Good crowd.
Very good crowd. Decent amount of Buffalo fans there, too, that tried to get loud throughout the first two periods. Third period was a little bit of a different animal, but, you know, mm-hmm. it is what it is. You end up losing a game at some point. You don't lose 4-0 without a bad period. It was the third.
Yep.
But it was a good game. I had a good time. I found Josh without his cell phone.
There you go. He seemed to enjoy it. He seemed to have really, really enjoyed the process of just leaving
your home. I took a picture from his seat for him.
Nice. Good. Good, good, good.
But yes, it was funny to sit in that seat for effectively a minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, all right, I'm out of here.
There we go.
Because there's Trevor.
And I got to go.
I got to go. Apparently, those seats were from work.
Oh, yeah.
I got to look at my work email more.
You do. You do.
I really do.
There's usually some important stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, that's not important. It's just free tickets are free tickets.
Yeah. Important stuff. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We did just mention it there as well. Sabres have just one more game to wrap up another no playoff season. It is tomorrow at home against Philadelphia, another team that's kind of reeling here as well. Fired John Tortorella a few weeks ago. They are kind of nowhere. Matvei Michkov might be really good, though, in the future. Although, with that being said, we won't spend too much time on hockey as we are just under a week away from the start of the NFL draft.
We're a week away. I'm so ready.
Well, no, we're a week away tomorrow. Just under a week away. Just over a week away.
Semantics.
Talked trading ideas yesterday, the idea of trading down, trading up, staying pat, what have you. Today, I want to talk about something that I have to credit Mike Schopp of the Afternoon for kind of bringing this idea up for me, because it's a player I haven't thought about for a long time, really, because I just assumed he'd be gone.
You think he's too good of a prospect.
And that's Luther Burden, the wide receiver out of Missouri. I know we talked with Jeremy and Joe as they were leaving here. They kind of had talked about Burden as well. And the reason why I want to talk about him, it's both burden, but it's also the conversations we've had about the defensive players in this draft class, which is, well, there's depth. Some of these guys are going to be available in round two, probably even at the positions you're already picking around to. You don't necessarily have to move up to maybe go get a Tylek Williams, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State, or one of these cornerbacks, maybe a Siobhan Revelle after a torn ACL out of
ECU. Or an Alfred Collins late in the second.
Right? There's a number of players they could go, and we've mentioned it on specifically the interior defensive line. It's much more the idea of getting someone to fill space, be a space eater to help out Ed Oliver and potentially even help out the edge guys in Rousseau, Bosa, Epinesa, because you take double teams away from them as well, having to fill those gaps, having to take care of Ed Oliver, who just two seasons ago had 9.5 sacks from
also
the defensive tackle
spot. Also absorb blockers
for
your linebackers in the run game.
Yep. So that's always kind of been more the encompassing thought with the quote-unquote beef wagon. But we really haven't spent too much time on early wide receivers, and I'd argue the Bills haven't either with who they've brought in.
Yeah, their pre-draft visits – it is something to where I remember someone mentioning in the chat for the morning show of like, it doesn't always dictate where they're going to go with things. It does show their hand on when they plan to attack on what. It's not going to be the player specifically sometimes, but it is also a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 30 visits. Even if you use all 10 picks, that's still only a third of them.
Yep.
For me, it shows when they're planning on this sort of move.
Mm-hmm.
But the big board also can be reactionary. Something we talked about yesterday. Context matters.
Mm-hmm.
And to this, if Luther Burden's hanging around at 30, he becomes the face of another ideal within draft strategy, the mindsets, so to say. It's another ideal. Can you afford a luxury pick? Is Luther Burden at 30 a luxury pick considering your needs on defense?
I like that idea because everywhere I look in terms of like, what are these teams' draft needs? You know, a bunch of guys will do it for every team. It's funny with the Bills. We all know defensive tackle, cornerback, but I think a lot of Bills fans would argue edge is still up there even after signing Bosa and some of their other defensive signings. Safety has been brought up a lot, especially with the idea of Nick Emmanuel, Malachi Starks. You've brought up Xavier Watts as well, guy out of Notre Dame potentially.
Mm-hmm.
The third need I always see is wide receiver. Now, Sal's brought up also, and I know Nate has, and sort of like, well, who's getting moved down? Because if you draft a guy in the first or maybe even second round, you're seeing somebody move down the pecking order likely.
Right.
The rookie will normally slot in early, and then you kind of figure it out as you go through camp, rookie camp, and OTAs, what have you. But if a guy like a Luther Burden is available, someone who this time last year, not in the 2024 draft, but thinking ahead to the 25 draft, was a consensus top 15 talent. Number one wide receiver, don't even think about it, he's gone. 6 foot, 200 pounds, very quick, and is putting up production at Missouri.
Yeah.
The likes of which they have not seen in a long time. And then he has a bit of a down year. And I'm being kind when I say a bit of a down year. His sophomore year, 13 games played, 86 catches, just over 1,200 yards, and 9 touchdowns. His average yards per reception, by the way, was 14.1. This year, with a change in quarterbacks, injuries, bad play overall from the quarterback position, he drops down to 61 catches in 12 games played, 676 yards, and 6 touchdowns. His yards per game, ultimately with that, drops from 93.2 to 56.3. There is a steep decline in basically all of his statistics. But those freshman year, where he came in and was pretty useful right away, and then sophomore year, the immediate jump up to what he was, showed how good of a player he is. Then the downspin in this past year, his junior year.
So I'm looking up draft profiles on Luther Burden, and in particular with him, I'm starting to wonder why there's a perceived fall in his draft stock. I think he is a top two receiver in this draft class. It's between him and McMillan to me.
Mm-hmm.
An NFC scout saying, I think he got bored with that offense. His playing style is like Jerry Jeudy with Amon-Ra St. Brown's hands and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
that kind of sounds like still a legitimate prospect to me that should go in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, you could call it, like, character concerns, quote-unquote. I look at it as he knows that this offense is bad. He knows that this quarterback is bad.
And there was probably, if we're going off if he got bored in this offense and maybe there's the character concerns, there's...
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Maybe the buyer's remorse of, I should hit the transfer portal.
Yes.
In the college football landscape we're in now, could have gone somewhere where there's a much better quarterback.
Because a player could look bored, and what it really is like maybe he's like straight up depressed that he didn't hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, where he's seeing his last season in college go up in flames. And potentially, as now we're seeing, his millions of dollars go down the drains because he decided to stay at Missouri.
I would be sad too.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. With how active the transfer portal is these days, yeah, it could be that.
Yep.
He's a big yards after catch guy. He has the natural instincts for it. He has top end speed. Again, to hear a scout saying he's got the catching and the toughness of Amon-Ra St. Brown, that tells you there's also tenacity there. So that might just be Luther Burden being human.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Bills can be benefactors of that, sign me up. Luther Burden, though, remains the face of an ideal here of, can they afford a luxury pick? Something that you don't really see them taking within round one.
Right.
And that extends to Malachi Starks and mm-hmm. Pick him and Worry at safety when you know there's big needs, particularly right now at cornerback. But how much of it is the draft board going to fall in your favor?
Yeah, and for
if
me—
if Burden's available, there might have been a run on corners already at the late end of the mm-hmm. first round.
Defensive tackles as well, corner, any of those positions. For me, my thing has been, and I said it yesterday— I want talented players. I want elite players. Is their biggest needs on defense? Yes. But you do have 2 second-round picks in positions that I think you can get very good, immediately playable talent in the second round. I've talked a lot about cornerback value. I don't love the idea of going a corner in round one because I think you can get a starting caliber corner, especially in McDermott and his defensive system. I think you can get a starting corner in rounds 2, 3, 4. Hell, they got one in rounds 6 and 7. They've been fine. Now, do you want an elite guy? Sure. But that doesn't mean I have to force that pick. And that's a big talking point, too, when going back to Kyer Elam when he was picked. In a way, the Bills sort of forced a cornerback pick. McDuffie goes, but they still have to draft somebody, and they go Elam. Like you mentioned, a cornerback run goes. Do we really want to see the Bills draft the 4th or 5th corner off the board in round one instead of maybe going the 3rd receiver, a guy who— if he had left Missouri,
probably
likely
goes
not there.
Yeah. Probably goes technically second.
Yeah, it's ultimately not there
because Travis Hunter exists.
And along with that, and it's something that we've brought up, you know, sparingly, and we talked about it kind of in our pre-draft or our pre-show kind of talk. The Bills have set themselves up perfectly to be that team that may be a guy with a slight character issue. I do want to preface that slight character issue. I look at someone like Isaiah Bond with everything that's going off the field with him, the sexual misconduct stuff that seems to be circling around him. That's not a slight character issue. I also talk a lot about the Georgia stuff that has happened with automobiles. And seemingly every offseason there's something going on with that program. Those are not slight character concerns. If Burden's character concern is he looked bored on a bad team, I'm good.
That's, as a matter of fact, super relatable.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's I hate my job right now, and like it makes me sad.
Yeah, and as a 21-year-old, I can look past it.
As a 30-year-old, right? You can look at someone and go, hey, man, are you all right? You look like you're not very engaged mm-hmm. these days. And the next thing you know, happy hour happens, and you are having a big old conversation with your coworker or your friend, and it's like, damn, yep. Now I get it.
And so with that, you add him to an offense that does have a need at receiver still. It does. They have bodies in there, but I don't think anyone, even if you're a huge Josh Palmer guy and a huge Keon Coleman guy, and a massive Khalil Shakir fan, no one's sitting here going, they're done. They don't need to add any more weapons. If you were to add Luther Burden, Josh Allen arguably might be the perfect guy at quarterback to bring in a rookie receiver who maybe was frustrated by his role at Missouri. He routinely puts up career years for receivers in the NFL who have not been particularly productive. Not always. Trent Sherfield, Deontay Hardy, there's been misses, but a guy coming out with high-end first-round talent that just had a low productive final year of college, I get excited by that. And also, let's not act like this is like a new thing where a guy doesn't have a super productive final year in college and ends up being great in the NFL. Dan Marino, if we want to go all the way back to the 80s, had more interceptions and touchdowns in his final year at Pitt. Didn't seem to matter. Josh Allen had a far less productive final season at Wyoming than the year prior when he was first kind of thrown onto the scene, and it worked out fine. He went to a good culture, a good organization that was able to allow him to marinate and become great. Burden is not that raw prospect. He would come in likely right away and immediately would be somebody that we would hear Sal come on during, you know, the morning show, the afternoon show here and go, he's popping at rookie camp. We're hearing good things about him. Come training camp. Hey, he's really – that's the kind of player Burden is. And to your point, you know, can they afford a luxury pick? To me, absolutely. You need elite players.
Not even that you need elite players. You can also afford that luxury pick because of your quarterback.
Because of your quarterback.
And if it's a player, especially when you're looking at a luxury pick, it's a player to help that quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately
– typically –
and ultimately, you look at Baltimore. We brought this up. Kyle Hamilton. Did the Baltimore Ravens need a safety when they took him? Not necessarily.
No, not at that time, really.
But he was the best player on the board. And Baltimore went, talent, done, cool, yeah. Bring him in. And he saved their defense this year. He's been a great player from the word go. Yeah. And he saved their defense this year and ultimately saved their year. They looked dreadful on defense.
He's really saved their defense. Ever since he showed up.
Really, ever since he has shown up. And ultimately, let's say going into the weekend. All right, just argument's sake, they take Burden at 30. But going into the weekend, the Bills also added Tylek Williams, Siobhan Revelle, or Alfred Collins and Siobhan Revelle, or one of these other corners that they brought in on a visit.
If you give me a draft class that features Luther Burden, a big, stocky defensive tackle, and a cornerback in your first two rounds, do you know how giddy I am Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading into round three. Maybe they have a pick. Maybe they don't. Like, for the rest of the night, I am cloud nine in it.
Yep.
Like, we are hanging out, and we're just having a great time.
Two guys they brought in for corners as well, Benjamin Morrison or Darian Porter.
I'm a huge Benjamin Morrison fan at this point. In the second round, I think he is going to be a great value addition.
Mm-hmm.
I think Xavier Watts, of course, in round two is a great idea. There's a lot to it. Like Revell, you mentioned, he is a mystery of where he could go. Nate would be happy with them running that card up at 30.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many options defensively that that's why like the trade down talk was something that we said yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Burton becomes an interesting wrinkle in that. Because now you're hearing, and do remember, we are now approaching a week from the draft. Do not believe anything that's being said at this point. But unless you hear it consistently. Mm-hmm. But if you hear a random thing like, hey, Luther Burton might be available in round two. Okay. I'm going to believe you, but like pick 33 is also still round two.
Yeah, you look at the – we mentioned this. You look at the early teams for round two, Tennessee could really use a receiver.
And they don't have many picks in the top 100. As a matter of fact, they only have two, number one and number 35.
New England, but, after a free agency that saw them will not even have a shot at guys like T. Higgins and Darius Slayton.
But they bring in Stephon Diggs. Tell me that a 1-2 of Diggs and Burden is not a good idea for Drake May, and I will call you a liar.
Mm-hmm. The Giants as well.
Giants.
If they really want to kind of set themselves up, if they got a quarterback in the first pick or what have you.
Say they take Sanders at 3.
Mm-hmm.
They complement it further with, then you have a receiving core of Neighbors, Slayton.
And Burden.
And Burden. That's a great trio for Shedeur Sanders to be able to thrive with.
Mm-hmm. I also look at a team like, right at the end of the first round, Kansas City. What is going to happen with Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy? Rice, I feel like we are just waiting on the announcement that he's been suspended however many games. Worthy, maybe not.
Let me preface this real quick, too. If the Chiefs add Burden,
mm-hmm.
I'm not mad. Mostly because the only way I'm mad about the Kansas City Chiefs is if they take like some like offensive tackle prospect that fell for no reason.
Well, it's not a great offensive tackle class anyways. So I think that's ultimately where their pick is going to
their
be.
Their biggest
is
need
line.
Is offensive line.
Yeah.
So if they, oh no, you took another wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes is going to be running for his life.
And we saw how that went in the Super Bowl, which is if you can get pressure on him, it doesn't really matter how fast some of these guys are getting
open. He's still a quarterback in the National Football League. If you hit him, he is like everybody else.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking ideas here for the draft. Could the Bills afford a luxury pick at the end of round one if it happened to be on the offense? Luther Burden is sort of that idea. But any other receiver, Matthew Golden, available at 30. Would the Bills maybe do it? Love to hear your thoughts again. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we hit our first time out, do want to let you know to join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ryan for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you'll receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Well, I'm not naming top five. I'm naming five head coaches I like. Number one, Brian Callahan. Number two, Stefanski. Number three, Brian Daboll. Number four,
I think I'm starting to see the
pattern. Pete Carroll. Number five, Aaron Glenn.
Cam Ward, shameless.
Number one coach, Brian Callahan. That man is already Titans coded. He's got the ugly jersey already.
So I want to get this up too because there was a number of other things he talked about in this Fortnite stream. It's a video game if you've not heard about it. So there we hear.
Actually, hang on. Let's make that a tease real quick.
Oh, to talk more about what he said?
Yes. But we are fully in draft mode. And speaking of which, Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase, they are taking over Resurgence Brewing for the ultimate draft night party on Thursday, April 24th, round one of the NFL draft at 7 p.m. So if you're on your way there, by the way, you can hear me, Zach, and Nate on your radio before you get to Resurgence Brewing. Tickets are $45 and include pizza and all-you-can-drink beer and well drinks, as well as enjoying live analysis, huge TVs, and crystal clear sound so that you don't miss a pick. Plus, there are local vendors and giveaways all night, including a giveaway of an all-inclusive fantasy football party for 12 at Resurgence Brewery, brewing courtesy of Resurgence. No purchase necessary for that giveaway. Get your tickets for the draft party at resurgencebrewing.com.
I really do enjoy how shameless Cam Ward was about this.
Oh, my God.
I love it so much.
He's already got his number picked.
Oh, they've got the jersey made.
Yeah.
The stores in Nashville are just waiting to get the go-ahead.
Like, it's stitched on.
Oh, man.
Because what else does he say in this Fortnite stream?
Treylon Burks, a top four wide receiver.
All right.
Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, top four running backs. Already heard Coach Callahan, the best coach in the NFL. Calvin Ridley? Better than A.J. Brown.
A.J.
Brown's a dog, but he's no Calvin Ridley.
He's speaking like he's already a member of the team, and I believe him. Like, there's a lot of smokescreen season. That is not one of them.
No, I don't know if I can remember, and I'm laughing about it.
He's having fun with it, though.
We've known for quite a while now that he was going to the Titans. I don't even remember guys like Trevor Lawrence, who we knew was going one. Depending on who got the number one overall pick, being this shameless about, like, yeah, Urban Meyer, best coach ever. I don't remember any of these guys doing that.
Like, we didn't know Meyer was going to be a travesty in his 1 year in Jacksonville.
No, but
so
like,
there would actually be some credence to that.
Right, but like Lawrence, but like, I don't remember
nobody saying that about Brian Callahan ever.
Treylon Burks, the guy's barely on the team. You do not have to blow smoke.
Yeah,
he's
like
barely there.
He might be like a cut down day candidate at the end of like the preseason.
Like this thing, I feel like the Titans called him afterwards and go, "Hey, you're rubbing it on a bit too much. You can pull back a little bit. You can pull back. Like Treylon, you can pull back.
Like anyone trying to put
we
betting,
like Tajay Spears, but come on.
Like, anyone trying to put betting odds on like anything being different, number one overall,
or,
like the bookies are like, well, there goes that."
Yeah, there's no betting on
there
the first overall
pick. There goes making money on the first overall pick.
Oh, man.
So, ready? For anyone that gambles out there, you know how we always say the gamble responsibly part? Gambling responsibly means do not put any money on anything about the first overall pick because it's going to be Cam Ward.
I will tell you, though, if,
don't
like,
do it.
If they stunned everybody and take like Travis Hunter, Ward would have like a legitimate grievance. Be like, I sold my soul for you. I said Treylon Burks is a top four receiver.
Ready? That'd be great. It's like, Adam Schefter comes on, why they didn't take Cam Ward. Actually, it's because he said that Tajay Spears was a top four running back. It's because he said that Treylon Burks was going to be a wide receiver on this team. They cut him right now, by the way.
It's just like, oh,
just
man.
For association.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I love it. I can't wait for the draft to start. In all seriousness, what pick do you think like the draft, quote-unquote, really begins? Like, we know Ward's going
ready?
One.
It's simple. It starts at two.
You think it's as early
really
as two? Okay.
Really, what's Cleveland going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to take Travis Hunter? And if they don't, why? The easy answer is you're the Browns, and of course, bad decisions are something that is in your blood.
Well, I mean, they did have a visit with Abdul Carter.
You can have a visit with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to necessarily say that is... Like, Abdul Carter is worthy of being taken. But you handed Myles Garrett a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback is Kenny Pickett, which means that Travis Hunter is going to have to sometimes play corner while he's taking snaps at wide receiver.
Yeah. Oof.
And if it's not Pickett...
I don't want him to be a Brown. I don't. I love watching Hunter, and I don't want him to be like... This is bad, because the Bills were this for a long time. I get it. I don't want him to just be lost in Cleveland. Like, we all kind of forget about him. Mm-hmm. They're not on national TV, and like, only Browns fans. Like, no, I think he's going to be I think he's a generational type prospect with how good he is.
But the thing is, the league is also fun when the Browns are also good.
That's right. That's right. I just don't think they will be. I don't think Hunter's going to move them that much forward to being good.
But it is. Do you take the easy pick or not? And Cleveland, well, they surprise us in a lot of ways. A lot of times with the answer of no.
And it's sort of in the same spot of the Bills where, you know, once you have the quarterback figured out, you can really argue yourself of just take the best player available. You have needs on defense, take the best player on defense, right? Or you have needs on offense, take the best player on offense. It's sort of the same with like teams that are in the top five. If you sort of quote unquote already have your quarterback or the quarterback class isn't very good, it just becomes take the best player. Ward is, I think, unquestionably the best quarterback in this class and arguably a pretty darn good prospect that could really help out Tennessee. Yeah, once you get to Cleveland, the answer really should be you take best player available, Travis Hunter. And then over with, you have a pro
number
you have
three,
a hope of an all-pro player.
Number three already has a lot more questions to it than there should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they take Sanders? If Hunter falls, that's got to be the shoe-in, right? Or do they go in a different direction? Do they just decide, no, we're just going to take Mason Graham right here? And then either Carter or Hunter falls for some strange reason.
Mm-hmm.
New England at four. There are plenty of different options. Someone might fall if, for example, Sanders is grabbed. Then there's Hunter or Carter available for you at four. And then all of a sudden, the Joe Milton game does not hurt the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But say it goes chalk and Hunter and Carter go 2-3 in whatever order. Do they take Will Campbell? Offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Instead of Mason Graham.
Yep, yep.
I think they should. It really, Cleveland really does start everything off. And it's probably why they made that terrible draft day movie based off of Cleveland. Because the draft typically does start with wherever Cleveland starts up.
I'm going to watch that again. So I believe I've said it on air. I've not watched Moneyball yet this year. I typically watch it either opening day or the week.
Now it's too late.
Day. No, well, it's not just too late. The Angels started the season off good. So I've just avoided it. This, though, I watch draft day. I have for the last five draft years on draft day. I typically don't work the morning of draft day, so I get up early. I watch it. Coming to work, I'm in a chipper mood. I'm ready to go. The movie is terrible.
We had a great day.
I love it so much. It is such a bad movie, and I get so much love out of it. I really do.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm also somebody that believes Kevin Costner can't act, so I enjoy laughing at him with that.
You would believe that.
I would believe that. But we had a great day.
It's one of my favorite lines of that movie.
It's so good. Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I can't
wait. It's so ironically, it just would never be true.
No,
that would never happen.
I love that.
Sonny's still getting fired.
Yeah.
He's still gone.
Oh, my God. Easily.
They show up and they go, what was this all for? You're gone. You're done. The Seattle guy, gone.
Oh, my God. Super fired.
Bo Callahan's agent, fired. There's a number of people. That day ends in blood. It's not a good day.
No, yeah.
There's a lot of people fired.
There's a lot of people fired.
The Seattle guy's fired into the sun.
Gone.
It's bad.
Gone.
I love that Jason Whitlock plays the assistant GM there.
That's right. He does.
He's as much of a fool as he always projects to be.
Tom Welling out of nowhere is acting again. He's the Cleveland quarterback. Out of nowhere.
And there's so much wrong with that movie. And you can watch it all you want to be in a chipper mood. For me, it's just, bad movies are bad movies. But I also get it. It kind of gets you in that mood of like, all right, we're having a draft day. Let's go.
Right. That's the thing. Moneyball I watch because I think it's genuinely a phenomenal movie. It is my favorite sports movie of all time.
It's kind of a set the tone.
Yeah.
And draft day, even if it's bad, can still set the tone.
Right.
Like you want to have an exciting day. You want to have trades involving mm-hmm. your team. You want some general manager on the hardest of drugs.
Yeah. I want insanity. I will
somewhere
tell you,
in the draft. It doesn't have to be your team, but you want a general manager to have had himself a great night the night before on accident.
Oh, I miss Mike Mayock on the Raiders. Oh, I miss Mike Mayock on the radar so bad.
Walk in here and take Cleveland Farrell at fourth overall.
Hell yeah, baby. But now I mentioned this yesterday. I can't really laugh at any GMs anymore. I laughed a lot at the Lions a few years ago, and that worked.
No. There are still plenty of general managers that you can laugh at, and there are still plenty of picks that you would be able to say they're playing Halo Reach.
Love it.
I have that meme ready. To go. Like it's up there in the archives of the memes I have on my phone. Basically, I took a screenshot of it just so I have it up near the top mm-hmm. again, and then you crop it and everything yep. like that. So it's like, so now if there's a reach that happens,
oh yeah,
on the Twitter feed, it is just going to be Halo Reach.
I will say,
with the team name.
Two other things on this. One, the other thing I get from watching draft day, I love the fact that Buffalo could get a draft. They could host it. I have somewhat enjoyed the different cities getting a draft. Man, do I miss Radio City Music Hall.
Yes.
Being in New York. And like that to me is still
It's iconic.
Draft. Yeah. And so I do somewhat miss that, you know, the red carpet walking in and the green room is exactly how you always picture. It's the green room.
Yes.
You know, and you had the team still there.
It's good that other cities are getting shine, but at the same time, it is.
I miss it.
It is, despite the fact that no team plays in New York City. It is iconic there in New York City.
Yep. And the other thing, as much as I'll watch Draft Day on Draft Day, I also love, and you can do it on YouTube. I think the NFL like YouTube page has them. You can watch like old first rounds. One of my favorite things to do is like to go back to those. And I'm not from the 80s or 90s. I go back to the 2000s drafts and I like to see like how, you know, Mike Mack's talking about a certain player when you're like, oh, he flamed out immediately or like you're trashing this guy and he was a stud, you know, whatever it is. I love watching old drafts leading up to the current year's draft. It's so much fun.
One of my favorites was, I do believe it was the Jimmy Clausen draft.
Oh, the Jimmy Clausen draft.
And the Bills take C.J. Spiller in that one.
Yeah.
And Mel Kiper is on his – he's on a bender about Jimmy Clausen saying that I will quit this job if Jimmy Clausen's not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And, like, he is that adamant about this guy. When I'm still just, like, relatively – I'm a kid.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense of – looking at these players, I'm like, no, that dude kind of stinks. Golden Tate made him.
Bills passed on him twice, by the way.
Bills passed on him twice. Carolina takes him. And he's garbage.
Round two, pick number 48. Yeah, he leads one of the worst NFL offenses ever at the time, and then they draft Cam Newton the year later. That draft, by the way, Bradford goes one. This is 2010.
Oh, God.
Ndamukong Suh out of Nebraska. I know he developed into, like, you know, the dirty player image. He ultimately did still have a very successful NFL career.
He had a very good career.
He was unreal at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable at Nebraska. Gerald McCoy, also had, man, four out of the first three picks, Oklahoma. Gerald McCoy goes to Tampa.
Did your numbers just number wrong?
Three out of the first four?
You said four out of the first three.
Oh, excuse me. Three out of the first four are Oklahoma. Bradford, McCoy, Trent Williams. Eric Berry goes to Kansas City.
Eric Berry.
Joe Hayden goes to Cleveland. You brought up C.J. Spiller at nine when they already had Fred Jackson. Just will never understand
and
that
Marshawn.
Pick. And Marshawn.
They traded
Marshawn
him.
Marshawn is still there.
They trade him that day.
My goodness, I will never understand that pick.
Not that day, the day after.
I liked Spiller, too. I just will never understand that pick.
You want to talk about a luxury good.
This is the year Dez Bryant goes to Dallas at 24. 2010 is not bad.
It's actually really good. That's a good day.
That's a good day. One of my favorite drafts is 2011.
And I think that, you know, one of the things I think that on Saturday I'm going to have me and Joe bring up is, like, what's one of your favorite draft memories?
Mm-hmm. I know One Bills Live has touched on that.
Yeah.
Me and Bulldog were talking off air yesterday. You know what's funny about that? Most of my draft memories, like vivid
they're
ones.
They're probably not good.
They're not.
My biggest draft memory is I threw a pizza at my friend's TV when the Bills took Aaron Maben.
Oh,
Brian Arakpo was on the board still, and I was like, I need this guy.
Yep.
Out of Texas.
Yeah.
And they take Maben, and I threw the only thing I had in my hand. It was a Little Caesars pizza.
Slice or an actual pizza?
It was a slice.
Oh,
if I threw a box...
I was going to say, I was like, that's egregious.
TV
that's
egregious.
If you're at a draft party and you just pick up that box and whip it, that's rough.
That's a waste of $5, Derek. Come on.
It's a waste of $5 and a negative invite the next year.
Yeah.
not happening.
You got to, you know, sit in the dog cage.
My buddy Jake and I, we would watch the draft every year, and that didn't stop after I threw a TV, threw a pizza at a television. Not a television at a pizza. That would be different.
803-0550, the number two call. I'll share my draft story after a quick timeout, but before we do that, tune in to Shope and the Bulldog for our annual pre-draft special tomorrow, Thursday, April 17th, from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., streaming live on YouTube. We'll bring you the latest insights and mock draft predictions, insider information, and guest appearances from Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, and Sal Capaccio. Show is presented by your Upstate Honda dealers. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today for excellent deals on the entire Honda lineup, including the all-new Honda Passport. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Real quick segment here, and then we'll get back to, you know, the idea of drafting a luxury. Can the Bills really afford it? Best player available?
We got a couple responses of your tweets on that, so yeah, we'll read those as well.
We'll get to those quick. But, Derek, you shared your...
one of those.
Not fondest draft memory, but maybe...
oh, it's a fond draft memory. It's a negative reaction.
Yeah, I have discovered my quote-unquote favorite or most memorable draft memories, you know, outside of working here the last few years, have been negative, and so mine is the 2014 draft.
So before you go on, knowing that, like, the thing about it being a fond draft memory also is not just because of, like, I threw a pizza at my friend's TV.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that every year, me and my buddy, we would just,
right,
no matter whose place it was going to be, we would alternate between who would host it, but the other person's coming in with a stack of hot and readies.
I love that. And I love that was, like, the specific thing.
Yeah.
We're going to change the spot.
Because Big Bro and I, we would eat a hot and ready pizza by ourselves. Like, a whole one.
I miss being 18. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore. I cannot do that anymore.
I can only have, like, two slices of a pizza now and I'm done.
But so, I was either 15 or I just turned 16. My birthday typically falls on the draft. It doesn't this year, but it typically does. So, I either was 15 or just turned 16. So, me and my dad were driving home from swim practice. I swam for 10 years of my life. And so, we're driving home. And I flew out of practice. It ended at 8. The draft started at 8. Well, Papa's got to get home. I got to see
Papa's got to get home.
And I do remember Clowney goes one. Blake Bortles went to Jacksonville, and I remember howling at that. Found that hysterical. But then immediately after that, I'll never forget, we weren't really rushing home per se to see the Bills pick. The Bills were picking at 8. And I wasn't very far from my home. And when pick 4 is up, we're at the Galleria Mall. I live about 5 minutes from there, so it's not too far. I'll never forget listening to GR for draft coverage. Bills are traded up to 4. I was a Watkins and a Khalil Mack guy. I was fine with either of them. I was telling myself that as the draft happens. Watkins, they have EJ Manuel. They need to help him out. Khalil Mack, he's a UB stud who's a top 10 talent. It's incredible. The marriage would be perfect. And I'll never forget the Watkins pick happening. I get excited. Yeah, it's one of them that I wanted. And the immediate crushing weight on me of, no, you really wanted Mac more. And I was so crushed that they didn't take Mac. I didn't realize I truly had a preference until the pick came in and it wasn't Mac.
The lies we tell ourselves.
And I was like, oh, no, Watkins better hit. It was immediate.
That's an example of the lies we tell ourselves.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that. That I was just like, oh, and I was crushed.
I actually had a 1 and 2 here.
Mm-hmm. I was crushed. Watkins ultimately was, I fell right in love with him. I will never forget Sal's tweet of Watkins having a one-handed catch at training camp. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah.
No, sadness, you were not justified.
You were wrong. But, that night hurt. And I still, it's weird that I remember it so vividly to this day. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We're going to jump back into the Luther Burden / best player available talk after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Going to go to the old Twitter machine if you want to join the show today. 803-0550, the number to call. We were having some fun. We were sharing some draft stories. You want to share yours. Fondest memory. Most upset you've been at the Bills. Love to hear them. Always fun. Also talking, of course, about the idea of best player available. If a certain guy falls, and maybe it falls on the offensive side, you've brought up safety as potentially a luxury pick as well, Derek.
Yep.
So there's a number there. Do want to read some quick ones, though, from the Twitter machine on some fun draft stories. Jack tweets in, I, too, was upset when they took Maben, left my place, had to take an angry walk, which I think we've all been there, the angry walk.
The Howard mowing your lawn.
Reminded me of Eric Flowers, Butler's last first as a Bills GM, athletic but no production plus no motor. Called Howard, our old friend Howard Simon, who had a draft show, said I was nuts, but I was 100% right. He also mentioned he was upset, or he was excited in 14 when they trade up, wanted Mac or Mike Evans. but they ultimately didn't get him. And then we also have Jack tweeting in, too, being crushed about 2014, saw the Bills trade before, wanted the same thing, Mac or Mike Evans.
Which, I mean, it is interesting, though, like how much of a hoopla that pick really was.
Yeah. You can even go to like a guy, Odell Beckham Jr. goes later. I mean, he did not have the same.
Like he ends up closer to Buffalo there, and like they could have
Buffalo's
had him.
Original pick. Yeah, he ends up going. Let me find it. 12.
Yeah, so they could have had him.
Mm-hmm.
It was Evans that they would not have had. He got taken 7th, I do believe, in that draft.
He goes 7th. Yep.
So, but yeah. So
two
if you
straight A&M guys. Yeah. Jake Matthews goes 6.
If you've got memories about that, you know, phone lines are open at 803-0550. Others from the tweet sheet, though, back to the original conversation that we wanted to bring in was, can the Bills afford a luxury pick in the first two rounds if a certain player falls? Jimmy tweets in, 100%, this is what the Bills should be doing at the bottom of drafts. Pick best player available. Last thing they should be doing is reaching on a player to fill an immediate need. Rarely does your BPA and positional need match up. Just draft studs.
Yeah, I can't really word it better than that. That's sort of where I was getting to yesterday.
That's where you were yesterday.
Just
pick, have a conviction.
Yeah, have conviction. Take the best. Take the guy you like the most. Who's number one on your board? Mm-hmm. Take him.
And then Todd tweeting and hopefully being learned from the Elam pick for not drafting on need. But we will see soon enough. We will see soon enough. I'm very excited about that. Like, you and I are just so draft-coded at this point.
I'm ready to go. Real quick, last thing on the 2014 draft I do want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills originally were slotted to pick at 8. They trade that with Cleveland. Or they had, yeah, they were 8 or 9. One of the two.
I feel like it was 9.
I feel because then that was traded with Minnesota, too. So it maybe it was 9. So, on that point. Do you remember the player they were originally being mocked to the most? Talking about luxury picks here, because it does somewhat fit into this. Do you remember the player that was talked a lot about the Bills? It does somewhat fit to the Sammy Watkins thing.
I feel like, no, I don't remember.
Eric Ebron, tight end out of North Carolina.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Goes to Detroit at 10. I haven't thought about
Ebron
in a while.
That's right. Eric Ebron was the one that was mocked to the Bills a lot.
He was the guy.
Because historically through the Bills franchise, they have had good tight ends.
I would argue they still kind of don't.
They don't.
They haven't figured that out yet.
They haven't truly figured that out. And it makes it even funnier. But like at the same time, wow, I forgot about Eric Ebron.
He was the guy. I don't think like unanimously he was the guy being mocked to the Bills. I just remember his name so much. And it was kind of like, are you really going to take a tight end in the top 10? I guess you might. Now looking back at it, what's funny is the draft was so loaded at wide receivers, they could have had their pickings if they really wanted to at 8 or 9 and been just fine. But I remember Ebron's name so much for that draft for the Bills, and he ends up going to Detroit. He ended up having a fine career in Detroit.
Yeah, and it is kind of funny that, like, man, you also could have picked a player that would have ended up being one of the best at his position of all time at this point. Aaron Donald goes 13th.
Aaron Donald goes 13th from Pittsburgh.
Aaron Donald goes 13th in this draft, which, if you look at overall, not bad. And then Cleveland's like, hey, we're going to be the crazy ones and take Johnny Manziel.
Oh, it's not just that. I mean, they take Manziel. This is one of their all-time worst drafts in an organization that's had bad ones. They take Justin Gilbert, the cornerback out of Oklahoma State.
Oh, that's right.
In the top 10. He's a disaster from the word go. I mean, yes. It's an all-time bad draft, and also ball knowers know. And I'm imagining the two guys we had tweet into us who were talking about they wanted Mike Evans or Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Real ball knowers knew. Manziel was made by Mike Evans making ridiculous catches off of prayer balls by Manziel.
The Bills, by the way, in the second round, they take Cyrus Kwanjo, who...
Yes.
I will never forget in preseason hearing that one of the assistants called him an armless statue.
Oh, no. Yeah, you never want to be called an armless statue. That's never good.
Yes.
That's never good.
Davante Adams goes 53rd in this draft as well.
Yeah.
So, like, wide receiver, that was a draft that was that deep.
Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry's in this draft as well.
Yeah, there were a lot of studs at wide receiver from this draft. Third-round pick that they have ends up being Preston Brown.
Led the Bills in tackles 1 year or two.
I think it was a couple of years because then he gets flipped in a one-for-one for Jerry Hughes.
That's right. Oh, then he had to have led the NFL in tackles or was like top five, something like that.
It was still – and then fourth round, an old friend here with defensive tackle, Daquan Jones.
Daquan Jones.
in the fourth round. Like there were still great players all throughout this draft. But man, wide receiver, it was kind of insane.
It is funny though. Like this is a great draft. The first three picks are all incredible disappointments. Jadeveon Clowney,
right,
does not become the all-encompassing pass rusher that everyone really assumed he'd be out of South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and somewhat rightfully so. He was unbelievable. To be fair, Chase Young has almost kind of followed in his footsteps for very different reasons. Clowney seemed to be he sort of didn't care up and down.
Yeah.
If he really wanted to play football. Young seems to be due to injuries. Greg Robinson, offensive tackle at Auburn, disaster. And then Blake Bortles makes an AFC championship game by being the worst quarterback in football.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And those are your first three picks. Then Watkins is also disappointing for the Bills. But ultimately, I think still most people would acknowledge if he just the injuries didn't get him, he'd be really good. And then it's Khalil Mack, Jake Matthews, Mike Evans, Anthony Barr, Taylor Lewan, Odell Beckham Jr. You've already mentioned Aaron Donald. Ryan Shazier, by the way, another guy that was on his way to having an all-time career. Injuries really ended his career. The neck injury he had that ultimately ended his career. Zach Martin, who just retired earlier this offseason. C.J. Mosley. It's a loaded class, and the first three picks are all massive disappointments.
Yeah, they're like bad, bad kinds of players. Yeah, I really do – like. There were some really good names in this draft all throughout it. Like Chris Borland's a third-round pick, and he cuts his career short based on injuries. But, like, man, that was a third-round pick, a kind of a player that Bills fans would have killed for.
Mm-hmm.
They do take Preston Brown, who, again, it lands you Jerry Hughes, so, like, I'm not going to take
that
back.
That kind of worked out, yeah.
But, you know, Borland goes in the same round as Brown does. And Morgan Moses, a longtime offensive tackle with Washington at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Jackson, one of the better interior linemen in the league when he was drafted by Oakland. Trey Turner, an offensive lineman. Like Jerick McKinnon is still in the league.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Daquan, Cam Fleming, another offensive tackle. Like there were some really good players throughout this thing that you can look at. How deep was this wide receiver draft, by the way? Quincy Enunwa, seventh round pick. And Enunwa was serviceable with the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And funny enough, I mentioned Enunwa. Enunwa is part of the Idzik 12.
Yeah.
As in Idzik, how did you mess up 11 out of 12 draft picks? A cursed draft class from the Jets in a year where we look at this draft class and go, there were some really good players.
That's always the worst. Like this is where I do call like an all-time miss by Cleveland. When you look at how many talented players there were, and both their first round picks are massive misses.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, they're fine, but it ultimately didn't become what maybe you wanted. Misses. I don't think Gilbert had another team after Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He played in Pittsburgh in 2016, and that was it.
Yeah. It was
he was on the Sioux City Bandits.
Yeah. Carlos Hyde, who like never would die when fantasy owners were like, why are you still around?
Hell yeah.
He was part of this draft. Like there were so many good players in this draft class.
Speaking of good players, I do want to get back to what Todd and Jimmy were bringing up on Twitter, that best player available idea. For me, and to that conviction point I was bringing up a lot yesterday and even today now, sort of where I've been sitting at with this is I've used that a lot to encompass the defensive needs, defensive tackle, cornerback. Like, take the best player there that's on the board.
And it could be both. It could be a need-based,
yeah.
But he's also BPA, and it's kind of like an easy shoe-in.
And that's perfect. Now, one of our guys did bring that up, that often doesn't actually happen, which I would argue is
true. But this draft class, it could be both.
It could. I'm you know what I'm curious about is what's the mood on Friday? Not going into the weekend. Friday morning. The Bills took Luther Burden at 30. What's the mood? I think realistically, even with all the defensive needs, I think Bills fans are pumped through the roof.
Pumped and also ready for, all right, buckle in for all defense coming up day two.
Yep.
This Friday is going to be, we're getting a couple defensive players, or at least we better. Because otherwise, where are the upgrades?
Yeah, what are we doing? Now, Mike Shope brings up a really good point, and I didn't want to forget today before bringing it up because I think it's a really good point.
Yeah.
Will the Bills actually take a pass catcher 3 years in a row with their first pick? Kincaid, Coleman, and then we're arguing Burton. Would they really do it?
It's not would they really do it, it's should they do it.
See, I think it's fine. If it's best player available and you're still going to go defense later and you have 2 seconds, that's fine.
Well, the answer
Will the Bills acknowledge they still have a ton of work to do there?
If they're willing to admit that,
mm-hmm.
then yes.
I have no issue if they admit it. I have an issue if they actively push against it.
So if they actively push against it, it's one thing. But I do suspect that, you know, if they do it, it is, yeah, no, that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are looking to add. The pre-draft visits and the number of wide receivers that they've had right. in here means that they're going to add a wide receiver at some point.
And that's why I think it's curious where – that's why I think it becomes fun if Burton is there. Let's say even if 28. If he's there and you're kind of watching the draft board fall, let's say, yeah, we're at 28. And it's Detroit. Detroit's not adding a wide receiver. Washington just traded for Deebo Samuel at 29. They're not. So right there in that window, do the Bills all of a sudden go, give me everything we've got on Burton?
Hey, I've got these extra fifth and sixth round picks.
Well, I don't necessarily think they need to trade up, but does it become the more hustle and bustle of, we didn't know he'd be here. We were planning on a wide receiver add if we trade back into round 3, round 4, round 5. You know, we're looking at the Thornton kid from Tennessee, you know, big 6'4", 4'3 speed. We're looking at maybe, you know, a raw prospect who can maybe kind of fill in on the roster. Now we've got this. And how quickly does that change the mood in the room? Even though we are hearing reports he could be available in the second round, it becomes a lot like the Travis Etienne argument for the Bills. Would they take Etienne if he was available at their pick?
And I don't think so necessarily about the Etienne pick because, like, a running back is different.
Right.
A running back is truly different. For me, it is. Can you go ahead and do this again? The answer is yes. There is a need there. There is a target of doing this. And if we get to like 26 and Burden's still there, you have extra picks.
Mm-hmm. You have the two twos.
I have said as recently as yesterday, I am comfortable with trading down. As a matter of fact, I'm not only prepared for it, I don't mind the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That said, context matters. And you have the ammunition to make a small move up like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ammunition that you can move around the draft board. And I'm excited for it more for day two of where you can move around. Because they're not making 10 picks. There's no way you can say that in good faith you're going to put 10 dartboards out there. Or 10 darts out on the board there, and expect to have 70% of them make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would think that there's an interesting idea there. So why not?
I really want him to be available at 30. I just for the conversation of what do they do
right.
if he is there at the Bills pick, and it's Kenneth Grant, Trey Amos, who I think Ian Rapoport reported today is visiting the Bills today, Luther Burden, and for argument's sake, let's say Nick Emmonwori's there too.
Right.
You know, we've got a few guys that are all there at maybe not even 30, but like 27, where we're starting to like really pay attention to who's on the board for the Bills. You know, where do they go?
Mm-hmm.
Do they put the immediate need, cornerback 2, over the... We can get Maxwell Harrison a little bit later in round 2 or someone like that.
Right.
Where Burden, you know, we had Royals in on a visit. We had a bunch of these guys on a visit. They don't match up with Burden.
It
and
is.
And ultimately.
Context of this guy's here. Okay.
And ultimately, the last two seasons ended with your offense on the field and the inability to score. Yes, you gave up points this year to Kansas City. I don't need you to be Philadelphia. I don't need you to be the best defense in football. I need you to be very good or league average, but I don't need you to be the best in football or have the most talent in football. I need you to be good. Where this past year, they had to trade a third-round pick to go get Cooper to unlock this offense. Allen ultimately wins an MVP in a year where he had, what, 9 for 30 in a game in passing attempts?
He lost them in the Houston game.
I mean, they were dreadful once they lost Khalil Shakir. They were gone. Curtis Samuel, yes, he has the contract, but you haven't seen enough from him. And to be fair, the team did not shy away. They somewhat walked some of the comments back, but initially they were not shy about pointing out some of the issues they had with Keon Coleman. And have you really, in actuality, replaced Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper with Palmer?
And the answer is no, because they've got several visits with wide receivers this year.
Mm-hmm. They're telling you they are going to draft the position. It's just likely, based on how the draft boards they believe are falling, will be later.
Right.
And that's where if a guy like a Burden, who is perceived falling due to production issues, and really like that, like that's what the red flags appear to be. He's never been arrested. He's mm-hmm. never had any off-the-field issues while at Missouri.
Right.
If it's just production-based of a bad Missouri team, that might be the perfect pick for the Bills. Of a guy who should not be there, and mm-hmm. they just scoop him up.
Yeah.
And they go, cool, he's now with the MVP quarterback, and he's a versatile wide receiver that can play every role we need in the offense. And he's a guy that is a separation artist and an explosive athlete, someone they've been looking for.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their wide receiver issue as well kind of goes away for the next five, six years. Keon
and Burden are there.
Shakir signed up. And you would draft Burden. Then it just becomes, we'll grab.
We don't have to worry about wide receivers for a little while.
You're done there.
You're always adding, of course, sure. And rotating in. But
Palmer's got a long-term deal. Curtis Samuel's still going to have 2 years left on his deal. So there becomes this very quickly.
For a couple of years, we don't have to worry about it. For next year, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and you move on to different positions entirely. Unless Burden is a whiff on the levels of Elam, then it becomes a need very quickly. I am fascinated by the idea if Burden is there and what the Bills do. Because the Bills are telling you they think they need to add a wide receiver with how many guys they are bringing in. What they're telling you, though, is they believe it will have to be later because there may not be a guy available.
Yes.
But if somebody like a Burden or a Golden is there, do they do it? I haven't brought up Golden a lot, too, because I think he's going to go to Dallas. But what if Dallas decides to take Burden, and everyone's like, oh, the fall was made up. Never mind. Mm-hmm. He's gone at pick 12.
Right.
What if Golden's there at 30? Does he do the same thing for you? Now, it's a bit less. I like Matthew Golden a lot, but I would probably tell you as well, he's a number two receiver. His production still wasn't there. I like the chemistry he had with Ewers, but he was more of a boom guy rather than he's going to catch, you know, the almost 90 passes that Burden did his sophomore year in Missouri.
Yeah. And I think that it does come down to, the talent's there. Luther Burden's also the face of this whole discussion. There mm-hmm. could be other players like this for you. It doesn't have to necessarily be a wide receiver. It could be safety. Mm-hmm. If I see a Malachi Starks hanging around at, pick 27, pick 28, I'm kind of, giddy in anticipation.
Yeah.
With that sort of a prospect being available. Why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
And also, safety is not as deep as the other positions are. Even though it's not an immediate need for the Buffalo Bills, it is also... You could really have a long-term investment turned around and going, we're looking at a long-term of Malachi Starks and Cole Bishop.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You look more long-term at safety. After this year, Bishop's the only guy under contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of one-year deals or expiring deals that they have going on.
And
here.
Of players that, quite frankly, it's fine if you move on from them.
Yep.
So it could be a bit of a luxury pick, but the idea is there.
Mm-hmm.
Edge rusher, even. If there's a player like an Azir and Ezekiru from Boston College.
Or Mike Green from Marshall.
Or even James Pierce from Tennessee falling for some reason. If someone's falling, A, why? And B, is it that bad if you go and snag them?
Mm-hmm.
Like Joey Bosa is only on a one-year deal. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the draft is deep in the second round with corner, with defensive tackle, your primary needs.
Steve Palazzolo and Sam Monson of the Check Mike podcast, they talked specifically about James Pierce and the idea of him maybe falling to the Bills. And like you brought up with Bosa, their whole thing there was he's a raw guy, but put him in this room with all these guys to let him learn. And then next year, if Bosa maybe isn't like the smash hit you wanted and you're not going to sign him back, perfect. You have James Pierce ready to go. He likely got less snaps and was sort of working his way in. Then boom, he's there. Or to the guy they actually, it was part of their mock draft, the guy they actually took, Siobhan Revelle, a name we've all brought up. Nate Geary is a huge fan of his.
Nate is on it.
If he doesn't tear his ACL, it's near unanimous. I see he's a top 15 pick. Teams are worried about what he is post ACL tear.
And there's that's an inherent the risk and reward of you draft an injured player. What are you going to get from him?
Yeah.
What kind of injury was it? How is he going to rebound? Because it's tough. It's tough to see and tough to evaluate it, but you're taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
But with risk does come reward, and oftentimes that is where I would like my team to be,
yep.
is a team that is willing to take a chance, pull the trigger on something, and see what they can do. Because otherwise, it's like you said, Zach, having a conviction. And even taking a risk on an injury player is having a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We believe in your talent.
And trusting your medical staff.
We trust the medical staff, and we also trust your mentals that you're going to be okay. And not only okay, but you're also going to be a quick study on this playbook, and we're going to be able to have you on the field and ready to go.
803-0550, the number to call. The idea, drafting best player available. Where do you sit at with it, or is it best player available, but it better be a defensive guy with all the needs the Bills have? Love to hear your thoughts. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But before we take our next time out.
Hey, the weather may be a little cheeks out there, but we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf courses with the WGR VIP golf card, which you'd be able to use hopefully soon enough. For just one low price of $129, you would unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobo Link, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card would also hook you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf, and you'd be able to score deals at Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will also benefit PGA Hope. You can look at all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
Any investment in a running back that you feel like is going to be rostered, to me there needs to be a corresponding move, which would be a James Cook trade. And I kind of feel like the Bills are going to want James Cook to just play out this season and then reassess after the year. And that could just mean he walks. But, you know, it's the best path with James Cook to get what you can out of him this year. And we'll see. That kind of feels like the right thing to me. But if the team's offering a day two pick and you can basically swap James Cook for a day two pick and reset the money and, you know, not be in that position where you're staring at a big, you know, contract for a running back, that seems pretty appealing.
That is Joe Marino from earlier today with Jeremy and Joe talking about James Cook. We haven't talked about James Cook in a little while. I think it's because he's going to play out this year at worst. And we'll see what happens after that.
And I brought it up in the first hour. James Cook was on a live stream with someone, and he tore up logos. So, like, he's loyal to the crest. He's going to play out the rest of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But a trade would be interesting because then, ready? Speaking of luxury picks, it's a really strong running back class.
It seems like one of the deepest running back classes we've had in recent memory.
Pretty strong. I'm not really paying attention to most of it because of the fact that I don't think the Bills are going to take one here.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, A, it tells you the direction that they're going to be moving into, and B, maybe there is a trade imminent for Cook.
It's also why, honestly, be a better agent. Let your client know, hey, you do not have leverage right now. Wait till after the draft when teams have their running backs to then make your kind of announcement, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it, about what you want. Because right now, I think most Bills fans have kind of gotten into the same corner as pretty much the rest of us, which is, okay, this appears to be an incredible running back class, and we have a ton of late-round picks that we can just grab somebody. Now, it doesn't work perfectly with that. We've taken calls from people saying, you know, it's not that easy to replace James Cook, and I agree.
But yeah, you're replacing a known commodity with something you don't know what's going to happen.
But also, I'm putting myself in the best possible situation. They've got good depth at the position. They've got an incredible O-line, and they've got Josh Allen, a quarterback. If the running back is good, I'm in a good spot. And that's the thing, too, is we've never really seen the Bills in this position, ultimately because Devin Singletary and Zach Moss didn't earn the position to maybe be getting a second contract, but they also didn't have the O-line that James Cook has. And ultimately, in the game that James Cook missed against the Jets, Ray Davis looked like a stud.
Yeah.
And so, and that's a big part of this.
It's a big part of it. And while we want to do that, I feel like it might be time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Steve in Columbus. Steve, welcome to the Extra Point Show. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for taking my call. you know, I think we actually have a little surplus on our offensive line. Everyone's signed. We got a lot of young backups, it seems like they like. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they can use David Green and a pick to move up. Maybe David Green in their fourth, they get a third. And honestly, if a stud came up, I would wonder if they could use their first-round pick. So if wide receiver out of Missouri is getting close, do you trade Samuels and that first pick to move up? Or if there's a defensive end, do you trade A.J. Epenesa and that first pick to move up? Because I feel like if one of those two positions were available, you got a little glut there, and I'd want to be able to use that person. I think they got that room with the offensive line. I think you got a little bit of flexibility. I would extend McGovern at center, but I think they got some nice depth there, and I would suggest using that. So I appreciate your thoughts, guys. Thanks.
All right, Steve, I've got two things. One, player value is not typically as good unless you're trading a stud player. Trading depth offensive pieces is typically going to equal fifth or sixth round picks. And this leads into number two. The Bills have a surplus of picks. Why not use those first?
Use those first. Also, I think it's Kendrick Green you meant to say there.
And oh, by the way, number three. No, I'm keeping my offensive lineman. Please, thank you. Because while the Bills have one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League, they also have gotten lucky over the last several years in terms of injuries on the offensive line in the National Football League. I'm holding on to David Edwards until someone pries him from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah,
I'm holding on to Van Pran Granger. Mm-hmm. I'm holding on to all these players because of the fact that a lot of them are versatile, and I need my depth because when will that be tested?
Yeah. And that's the thing,
terrified of the thought of having an injured offensive line.
Well, that's the thing. It comes off as a surplus because the last 2 years you haven't gotten to see it.
And they don't miss a beat against Kansas City because Spencer Brown is out for a game.
Yep.
That's a big deal. I want to keep that. I need to keep that. So that's primarily my main objective is, look, what are the Bills missing? They're missing a superstar player, typically, is what it is. Instead, a good team, a great team, is also valued off of its depth. You see Curtis Samuel as a potential trade piece. I see Curtis Samuel as, if he's healthy, his value on the roster is going to be a lot better and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
His value is not going to be there in the trade market. You have 10 draft picks. Use those first.
Yeah, use those first. Now, if it does get to a point where, you know, he brought up Curtis Samuel potentially in a trade if you want to go up and get Burton. Yeah. If a team is like,
Even James Cook. That value is not going to be there. Teams are not going to overpay for a running back in the trade market, especially when the player will be a free agent after next year.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bother? So, like, while it's interesting that Joe Marino pointed that out there in that clip, unless you're trading a star, you're not getting the value you want when it comes to a player trade at the draft. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not how it works historically.
Yeah,
the reason the Bills traded a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs was because of the fact that he was a star ready to bloom, and the Bills recognized that. Oftentimes, a player will not be traded for a first-round pick outside of extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee gets a first-rounder to trade A.J. Brown, but also you have to be without your mind to trade A.J. Brown. And John Robinson, within that season, pays the price with his job.
Well, yeah, so that's the thing, too. It's like they got a first-round pick, but A.J. Brown was a superstar that they weren't – they were using him correctly.
Yes.
They were. It was just they had this weird notion that A.J. Brown wasn't actually as good as he was, and now we all see with the Eagles – he's been a monster with the Eagles. He's trending towards a Hall of Fame career.
Exactly.
And like you mentioned, it cost a GM his job in season. He doesn't even get to go to another draft.
Yeah, because the man went back into his building and embarrassed him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much oftentimes, when you trade a player, you're not going to get the return you expect to get. It's not a video game.
No, and we even talked about that with some of the draft picks as well. Like, I mean, if you try to trade back, you're likely getting maybe a fourth if you go from round one to two. Then you maybe can package those fourths, try to get into the third, what have you. But it takes a lot of – you mentioned a lot of board manipulation. It takes a few more trades. Bean had to do this to go get Allen. They had to trade –
They traded twice.
Yeah.
Cordy Glenn goes for a first-round pick.
Offensive lineman, they do have that value.
Except Cordy Glenn goes for a first-round pick that you then have to use again to move up.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a clean swap.
No.
You had to move up again
mm-hmm.
to get to where you really wanted to be. For me, it is going to still be. The players are not going to get you what you think they're going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Darcy Regeer syndrome.
Oh, love that. Love that.
Because somehow Darcy was able to get maximum value on players that he would trade out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never often the case. Like, it's funny how I'm likening it to hockey in this sense, but like people saying, Samuelson's garbage, trade him somewhere. Who's taking him?
Yeah, you have to find a team that believes.
You can't like say
with Ottawa. You have to find a team that believes we're going to get the most out of them, there's something under there.
But more commonly, the bad players are bad, mm-hmm. and other teams know that.
Yep.
Like, that's typically how this works.
Yeah, you might be first to the bowl. They're not far behind you.
Yeah. And, like, you think that you can trade something for an offensive lineman that has barely any tape over the past few years. Wyatt Teller goes and gets Buffalo back, like, I think it was a fifth or a sixth round pick.
It wasn't much.
It wasn't much. It was where he was drafted. But the return, considering what Teller became, was embarrassingly low and one of Brandon Bean's public regrets.
Mm-hmm. And to the offensive line, you bring up Wyatt Teller. Cody Ford's development is also one of the big regrets of Bean's tenure here. And that's where I think
I'm just more on value.
Well, I think that's also where, you know, back to the original point, trading the surplus of offensive linemen, they will not do that.
No.
They are going to hoard these guys. Travis Clayton is another one from the international window.
Boys.
Where they're Aaron Cromer, work your magic, and we'll have a surplus so that when injuries, sadly, do eventually come, or guys get older and their body just starts to wear down, they've got these guys in the pipeline that they can bring up, haven't had to pay big money because they haven't had to start too much.
And great and teams good. Have depth.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Philadelphia.
Especially in the trenches.
In the trenches, they are one of the best teams,
mm-hmm.
and it's no mistake.
Let's go back to the phones. John is up next. John, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys doing? Thank
doing
you
well.
For taking my call. I'm glad you mentioned hockey because this is sounding like a hockey discussion because I've been a Buffalo sports fan all my life, and I'm a little tired about hearing about when guys perform outstanding. We tend to find ways not to keep them, okay? Sabres are a perfect example. Mm-hmm. 40, 50 goal scorers, his contract is up, boom, we kick him out the door. Instead of trying to find ways to keep these people here, without James Cook, the Bills were nowhere last year. And I understand you can't pay a running back $15 or $16 million, but we haven't even heard a counteroffer what he's thinking. And I think he knows he's not going to get $15 million. But now everybody seems to be having our roster for next year or 2 years without this guy. He's an incredible part of this offense. And if you pin Josh Allen down, he's going to say, we have to keep this guy. You're not going to get a James Cook in the draft. I don't care what anybody says. This guy just brings so much to our table. And I want to hear somebody with a creative way to keep this guy here, okay? And that's all I have to say. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
No problem, John. You too. And I honestly, I'm starting to get to a point with this, and I know, John, like it's going to go against what you said. Prepare, first of all, like Cook's going to play next year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Bill next year, and I don't think he holds out. He's not that kind of player. He said he doesn't want that kind of attention, and I think that's what he means. We also are not in the negotiation table. None of us are. We don't know if a counteroffer has been made. We don't know how much it is. What I do know is two things. One, James Cook will be a Buffalo Bill next year. And two, if that is the ask, the Bills will not be able to afford him. It has nothing to do with keeping good players here. It is just sometimes you can't keep everybody. That is the cold, hard reality of a salary cap team in sports. You can't keep everybody. And that leads me to this. Enjoy James Cook while he is here. So fans like ready to jettison him, calm down. Just because he wants money and he wants to try to test the market with terms of his value does not mean that he's not a Buffalo Bill in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if that number is not going to move, enjoy James Cook while he is here. It is a business decision, mm-hmm. and people sometimes do not understand the lack of comfort, I should say, of how uncomfortable it is about it being a business decision. So it turns into, I'm going to have negative feelings about this player instead because he's not going to be a Bill long term.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be both. You can understand that the Bills may not be able to afford him, but also be very ready and enjoy having James Cook here next year.
I also do like, I mean, you brought it up and John brought it up as well. We also haven't heard anything monetarily wise.
We're
after
not
the
in
immediate
there.
$15 million. And Cook didn't even, I think he liked a tweet or retweeted something on Instagram, whatever. We haven't heard anything past that. So if ultimately he is signed for like $9, $10 million, especially with the cap going up,
yes,
you can make that work. You can do that. And also, it'll probably only be, I would imagine, a 3-year deal. You kind of go to the end of his prime. He'll be about 28 years old. That's a good place to stop. That keeps him on the team. Now, but that's the thing. I am moving off Cook if he really wants to stay at the $15 to $16 million range. He wants to be paid like Saquon Barkley or what Derrick Henry should be being paid, what have you. If that happens, you are moving off him. And I think the Bills do set themselves up well in potentially moving on with the addition of Ray Davis.
And I think that is ultimately, ready? I hate that we have had to keep talking about this. This is next year's problem.
Yeah, it's not this year's problem.
It is next year's problem. Let future us worry about that.
Yep. Love the calls. Keep them coming. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to join the show. We got one more segment here before we get you over to Sabres Live. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. You're listening to Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. A quick final segment here as we wrap up our time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Do want to let you know, though, before we get out of here, listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win 2 lawn tickets to see Breaking Benjamin in 3 days grace at Darien Lake Amphitheater on September 17th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets are on sale at livenation.com. Real quick here, before we get out, let's take one more call. Joe is on the line. Joe, you're on WGR.
How you doing, WGR?
Okay. Doing well.
Okay, cool. I'm not sure if it was, this is regarding the draft. I'm not sure. I think it was about 10 years ago. We took a guy in the second round named Terrell Troop,
mm-hmm.
who was basically a bust. The problem with that was that on the very next pick, there was a kid from Williamsville who would have played his heart out for the Bills that the Patriots took named Rob Gronkowski.
Yep, the immediate next pick.
Yeah, that was the that's one of those all-time draft regrets. I mean, people probably had some reactions to that, to say the least.
Gronk was awesome at Arizona, by the way. Mm-hmm. His issue was also the quote-unquote character issues. It's more maturity issues. And to be fair, like, we all know who Gronk is. So can you imagine 21-year-old Gronk? What's funny about that pick also, it's not just that he's a Williamsville kid. The Bills notoriously have really no history at the tight end position.
Mm-hmm.
And Gronk is inarguably one of the top 5 of all time and would have helped them. This is the 2010 draft, by the way, so it's about 25 or it's about 15 years ago.
Yeah, but it's just one of those weird things of like, misses happen all the time, honestly.
Oh yeah.
I'm not really going to hang my hat on like a particular one of them unless there's a core memory to it. That's why I bring up the Maben pick,
mm-hmm. yep.
is because it's not necessarily about like I was right about it. It is my reaction to it. One of my core memories is here. I'm doing Sports Thunder after the draft, and I'm pissed that Josh Allen was the pick. So pissed that my program director, our program director, Alan Davis, comes over and says, "Hey, you are still a member of the flagship, so
let's build some excitement to it."
Yeah, he's like, you can disagree with the pick, but like, figure it out from there. Like, no, learn how to tread water, because like, I'm still new to hosting at this point. And so he's like, learn how to tap dance.
Yep, you got to toe the line a little bit here.
A little bit, mm-hmm. at least a little bit. You can disagree with it. You could say it's not the pick you wanted, but he's a Bill now.
Yep. Real quick to tie a bow on today as well. We talked a lot about drafting the best play available, luxury picks. Evan Silva established the run, put on a mock draft today. Who does he take for the Bills at 30? Oh, well, don't you know? Luther Burden, wide receiver out of Missouri. Very, very excited. Cannot wait. We are just over a week away from the NFL draft. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.